Epilogue. I'm almost home. After a 31-hour plane ride across the Pacific, I am in my last hour of the trip from Bangkok to Phnom Penh. Below me is Cambodia, my land, my history. With my forehead resting on the window, I see that it is the rainy season, and most of Cambodia is submerged in silver, shimmering water. I think of Pa, Ma, Cave, and Gek. Swallowing tears that drip down my throat, I reflect on how I left my family behind. When Meng and I came to America, I did everything I could to not think about them. In my new country, I immersed myself in American culture during the day, but at night, the war haunted me with nightmares. On occasion, the war crossed over from my dream world to reality, as it did in 1984 when the drought in Ethiopia brought daily images of children dying from starvation. On the television screen, children with bellies too big for their bodies and skin hanging loosely on their protruding bones begged for food. Their faces were hollow, their lips dry, their eyes sunken and glazed over with hunger. In those eyes I saw Gek, and I remembered how all she wanted was to eat. As the Ethiopian crisis faded from the screens and Americans' consciousness, I was even more determined to make myself a normal American girl. I played soccer. I joined the cheerleading squad. I hung out with my friends and ate a lot of pizza. I cut and curled my hair. I painted my eyes with dark makeup to make them look more round and Western. I'd hoped being Americanized could erase my memories of the war. In her letters to Meng, Chu always asked about what I was doing. I never wrote her back. Khoi, Kim, and Chu continued to live in Ma's hometown of Bot Dang with our aunts and uncles. Soon after Meng and I left, our maternal grandmother, along with the wife of our youngest uncle and their two daughters, also made their ways to the village. Youngest aunt wrote that Khmer Rouge killed her husband. As for our grandmother, she is in her 80s, weak from old age, and speaks very little Khmer. When asked about what she saw, grandmother's wrinkled eyes well up and tears flow down her cheeks. Shaking her head, her small hand wipes her eyes and rubs her chest above her heart. When she turned 18, Chu married a man in the village and later bore 5 children. Together, they opened a small stand in front of their house, selling bamboo containers and brown sugar. Khoi, with his salary as the village's police chief, supports his wife and 6 children. In Bot Dang, a community of almost 100 Ungs grew out of the ashes of the war. In 1988, hoping to join us in America, Kim made his way to a Thai refugee camp. There he stayed in hiding for a few weeks, surviving on the money that Meng sent him. On the other side of the world in Vermont, Meng hurriedly filled out the family reunification papers to bring Kim to the States.